We've been preaching through the book of Proverbs, and you noticed last Sunday I was struggling in that book, and it is true that we struggle sometimes in the messages we bring because this is not like a regular class. We trust that it is a spiritual thing and that we want to be led by the Lord in the things that we preach on. And we're going to return back to the Proverbs, Lord willing, next Sunday. And if you've read your lesson this morning, good. It won't hurt you any if you read your lesson, and we're not going to preach on Proverbs this morning. But there's been an area of Scripture that's weighed heavily upon my mind this week, and I don't really know why, but I really want to preach on it this morning. Sometimes a message is kind of like Christ. We find that many times he went out of his way to find somebody, and he found a particular person, and he would bless that person. And sometimes I think a message is like that, that sometimes there's a message, and that message and that person are going to meet together in God's house, are going to hear that message. And I don't know who this message may be for this morning. It may be just for myself. I don't know. But I found a lot of sweet comfort in this thought this morning in a scripture that's found in the book of Matthew, as well as in the book of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to it. And 15th chapter of Matthew and the 7th chapter of Mark. It's parallel scriptures, the same account given by two different authors of scripture. And I'm going to read both to you because they're not very long. And this morning, if I were to give my message a title, I would just entitle it Begging for Crumbs. Because really, when we go to God's throne of grace, we're beggars at mercy's door. And all we're asking for the Lord is just give us a crumb. And perhaps you may need a crumb this morning. Maybe you've been knocking at heaven's door. You've been praying about something very ardently to God, and it's been on your heart. And I don't know what your crumb may be this morning, but I want to encourage you this morning that if you're a beggar and you're coming to God and you're asking for just a crumb, that the Lord's got some crumbs for dogs. And so we're going to begin reading in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 15. And then we're going to turn to Mark 7:24. First, Matthew chapter 15, I'll give you time to turn over there, verse 21. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A parallel part of that is found by Mark. He records the same instance. Apparently both of them were there at this occasion in the house where Jesus spoke the words to the Syrophoenician woman. And in Mark chapter 7, if you look at verse 24, we find the same thought. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon a bed. As I've said, this has been some sweet meditation for me this week, because if we are children of God, we're certainly children of prayer. And there's not a person here this morning that I do not believe has had some request that they've been making to the Lord this week. And I don't know what your request has been, and I don't know what the one that's been on your heart that's been at the uppermost part of your prayer. But I believe that as we read this, that we can see that here is a woman of a very sorrowful spirit. And she has a great burden in her heart for her child. And I see that as we read the scriptures, you'll find that there are many parents that come to Jesus Christ for their children. We read of the one who's Jairus' daughter who had died, that they come to Jesus and requesting him. And he came and he raised the daughter to life. We read about the father who had a son who was possessed with a demon, who threw himself sometimes into the fire and knew of the prophets. And they would come to the prophet and beg the prophet that they would come and heal their child. And so we see as parents this morning, whether your request is a crumb for a child or something else, that it is great encouragement for parents to seek the Lord when it comes to their children. Or perhaps this morning you may be a grandparent and you may have a grandchild that you're greatly concerned about. I'll say great are the prayers of grandparents and parents when they seek Jesus Christ out very specially and they begin to place upon the altar this child that they are so concerned with. I can tell you that I believe that my grandmother prayed for me many times that I didn't know about, that she was interceding to God and that perhaps she was begging for a crumb from the master's table that her grandson would be brought from places, that he would come to the Lord's house so that he would be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. We're living in a world today that I believe that there are many parents that are really unconcerned about their children. I believe that there are many parents that whose child could be in the same shape that this mother's child was in, but yet you'd find them out in the world and partying and having a big time, not concerned about their child. And I say kudos to those parents that are not willing to live a peaceful life in their own souls when they have a child or a grandchild that they know has not been brought to the Savior. Should we as parents not be praying for children that are not in the Lord's house? Should we as grandparents not be pouring out our souls into God if we have any child or grandchild of ours that is not a worshiper of Jesus Christ? We should be daily at the throne just begging the Lord for some little crumb that He might throw at our feet. You may say, well, this is not the way that I'm supposed to live as a parent or as a grandparent. I'm not supposed to live as one that is not happy all the time and that is a sorrowful spirit. But I want to tell you, as we look at the scriptures, there are those that are interceding for those around them. It is not all about them. It's about Him. They want others to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think it's a great thing when we see this great love that this mother has for her child. As I read this, I think something comes to my mind, and that is that great sorrows, many times are the instruments that God uses in His hand to bring us to Christ. Sometimes we read of those that were just at a meeting and Jesus Christ was preached and miraculously their heart was pricked and they were shown that they were sinners and they stood in need of the Savior. But I want to say that the Scriptures abound, and I believe this church as well, with people who were brought to the Savior, not by a discourse that was a pleasant thing to hear, but more so by the rods of affliction and sorrows that we have entered into in our lives that we have found to be very bitter. Oh, many times, my friends, it is the bitterness that we're brought to find that branch that was thrown into the water, who is Christ, that makes the bitter water sweet. And many times it's been a child or a grandchild. It's been somebody that we love that's had great sorrows that has brought us to seek the Savior, to know that He is the one that can handle the problem that we're dealing with, that it is greater than ourselves. And it brings us to know Him, that He is a friend that sticketh closer than even a brother. There's a lot of points in this morning. And one point that I see in this is that faith is found in a very unlikely place, isn't it? I mean, if you think, he said, great is thy faith. You would think if there was anybody that would have had this kind of faith that would have sought the Master and prayed in such a way as she did, that the person who had the greatest faith, it must have been found in the camps of Israel. But you know what? Here is a woman that's a Syrophoenician. And it goes into great point here in the Scriptures to show us that she was not a church attender on a regular basis, even at all. She had not been in the courts of Israel. She had not been around the priests. She had not heard the doctrines of the church. She was not doctrinally correct. But yet we find that her faith is great. And I believe that many times the strongest faith may be found in places where maybe the doctrine is not exactly right. I mean, you might look around yourselves in the world and you might say, well, you know, that person doesn't know the doctrine as well as I do. That person, they're really not. They don't know the truth like I know it. Surely that person is not going to have their prayer answered. I beg your pardon. You find that there is great faith in places where people may not know the doctrine as well as you do. Well, but they know Jesus. There's a difference. They've met Him. They've heard about Him. They've heard about the miracles that He's performed. She's come from a distance. And knowing that she had no inheritance in Israel, she had not read the oracles of God. She had not seen the Shekinah light in the temple. She had not been around the priests and heard their long prayers. But she had heard about Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this morning, you may not feel like you know all the doctrines of the Bible. You may not feel like that you are the most faithful person that ever lived. But I want to tell you something. Don't let that be a hindrance to your prayers. This is an encouragement to anyone who just knows the name of Jesus Christ to encourage you to come boldly to the throne of grace. And even though you might come as nothing but a beggar, that Jesus says, come anyway. You may not know everything that everybody else knows. You don't have to get your prayer answered. All you got to know is the one that answers the prayer. All you got to know is the one that intercedes. All you got to know is Jesus. You know what I think sometimes is we get a little too stuffed shirt when it comes to religion. We get it all down. We know what time we meet. We know what songs we're going to sing. We know everything about all the traditions that we go through. Well, we're like Nicodemus. Nicodemus wouldn't come to Jesus in the daylight that somebody might see him. You won't find him at the feet of our master begging for a crumb. He's too religiously correct to do that. Nicodemus has got to come by night when nobody sees him. And you know, we get so stuffed shirt in our religion sometimes, we couldn't tell anybody if we really had a prayer answered. We couldn't tell anybody if we really had a burden on our heart. If we had an experience with Jesus Christ, we would come here and we surely wouldn't want anybody to know about that because, you know, we got to just keep everything the same around here, don't we? We don't want to get too excited about Jesus. Somebody might think, well, we're just getting a little bit too religious here at Harmony Church. Well, we got to keep everything just the way that it always has been. Nothing can be changed. I mean, our service has got to be exactly on time. We got to start singing here, start praying there. We got to do this. Only pray for so many minutes. We got to use this particular songbook. We get so caught up in the way that we think it's got to be and can't be any other way. Oh, I love this because here's somebody, she's not in the regular cut of the religious circle, but she comes to Jesus and she gets her prayer answered. Strong faith, we find. And you can find that Jesus Christ can make strong faith exist when there is little knowledge of anything but Him. I think that's the starting point, isn't it? Should not He be the starting point of it all? If you believe anything this morning, should it not be about the Master, Jesus Christ? I love the doctrines of the Scripture, but I believe He is the most important thing. Here's another thing that I see about her. That as she comes to Christ, and she begins to beg and plead and pray. Well, there's an evident token of life there, isn't it? I mean, who in the world would be approaching Jesus Christ and asking Him to answer a prayer if they didn't first believe on Him? I mean, how can you pray to somebody and ask somebody for something if you don't first believe in that person? I see an evidence of election in this. Oh, she was of God's elect. She was not of Israel, but they are not all of Israel that are of Israel. That's what the Bible says. In other words, all of God's redeemed family were not of natural Israel or sprang from Abraham. But here we see the beginning or a trickling of that faith that's going to come to the Gentiles. Just as Isaiah wrote, in Him shall the Gentiles trust. And here is one that the Gentile was trusting in, a Syrophoenician. She was a Gentile of the Canaanitish family. And she was believing in Christ. And when you see somebody begging Jesus Christ for something, you can say, here is one of God's elect, known of God and chosen before the foundation of the world. That she wasn't chosen by any foreseen merit on her part, but because God loved her with an unconditional love and placed His love upon it, was drawing her by His Spirit. I love to see this when we see that there is somebody that's not within the regular religious camp and comes to Jesus Christ and opposes all the rules of religion and says, here is a worshiper of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we get a little surprised in our own religion, don't we? When we see that Jesus Christ might be working somewhere else, maybe somebody with a different name on the sign, maybe somebody that sings from a different songbook, maybe somebody that doesn't see everything like we see it, and we see Jesus Christ doing something there, and we get a little concerned about it. We should get concerned about it. Because if He's not doing something here, we need to start questioning our own self and say, Lord, are You with us? Are we begging for crumbs like she did? It is a token of her faith that is a fruit of the Spirit. Another thing I see about her is it's strong faith, strong faith. It cannot be quenched or squelched by an unanswered prayer. Sometimes we'll pray about something and it's not answered immediately. And we say, well, you know, God just didn't hear that. God doesn't love me. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. God doesn't understand my circumstance. My friend, all of that should be answered oppositely. She wasn't discouraged because the Lord didn't answer her prayer. The Lord many times puts His prayers off because He wants us to get in the right posture of prayer. He wants us to get in the begging position. He wants us to be begging for some crumbs. Oh, we come to the Lord sometimes as if we must deserve it. I mean, let's face it, every one of us get to that place in our life, don't we? Well, I just really don't deserve this prayer. I mean, I really been messed up this week. I don't deserve this prayer to be answered. Look at my life. Look at the sins of my life. I know I'm being punished because of all the things I've done. Forget that. Jesus isn't looking at that. He's looking at your prayer. He wants us to get to the place that we can say, truth, Lord, I'm nothing but a dog. But even a dog gets some crumbs that falls from the master's table. All I want is a crumb this morning. Do you need a crumb this morning? Is there a crumb that you've been looking for in your life? Are you praying for just a little crumb? We got to be in the right posture to ask for the crumb. Her answered prayer didn't keep her from praying. I love what Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes when it comes to praying for others. He says there's more hope in a living dog than a dead lion. Now, a dead lion, it's over with. I mean, you can't ask for that lion to, you know, naturally speaking, to come back to life. But if something's alive, if there's something alive that you can pray for, if there's some hope, don't give up your hope in that. Keep praying. She had a lot of discouragements in her prayer. That's another point that I see here. Discouragement. So many things discourage us in our prayer. Did you notice that when she came to pray, that those disciples, you'd think the people that were the closest to the Lord, the most religious people, that knew the most about prayer and the most about the Lord, that they should have been there and they should have been prompting her on. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep begging. Keep praying. Don't give up. But you know what the disciples did? Send her away. She crieth after us. Get her out of here. You know, sometimes you can find the most discouraging words from people that are supposed to be disciples. I mean, you think, you know, here's a good idea. Here's something that we ought to be. Oh, don't pray about that. That's not going to happen. Surely you can't be praying for something like that. Right next to Jesus Christ, the disciples are sending her away. And did you notice in their language, she crieth after us. She's not looking for them. She's looking for Jesus. She didn't come to church to see them. She came to see Him. That's what she was after. She was after the Lord, not them. They couldn't answer a prayer. There is never a man that can answer a prayer. Only Christ Jesus is the only intercessor, one that we can intercede through that can answer any prayer. Who did you come here this morning to see? Did you come here to see a building or a pews or a people? I want to see people in God's house. It's a great encouragement to me when I come into God's house and there's a house full. But of all things, the one I come to see here is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're thinking like that, maybe He will appear and be with us in our services. Maybe He'll be passing out some crumbs for some beggars. He is the one we come for. Another thought in this is, this is just full of thought. When you just look at the words. Her prayer was not for herself. I know a lot of times our prayers are for our own selves, and there's nothing wrong with that. Surely we should pray for our own selves. But her prayer was intercessory prayer. She was praying for somebody else. But she was so caught up in that love for that child that even in her words, as she was interceding for another, she said, Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, this is great love that she has. Sometimes our love is shallow for those around us. We can announce prayers at the end of service and all these prayer requests we have. But when we go home, do we really even pray for those people we're mentioning? Or is it just something that we like to hear, like a gossip tale or something? Are we really interceding for others around us? Are we caught up in the lives of our children, our wives, our husbands, our grandchildren, to the point that we are interceding for them like she was for this child? It was an unselfish prayer, but yet it was a part of her bone and a part of her own flesh that she was praying for this child. She's not praying for money. She's not praying for a new car. She's not praying for a new house. She's not praying for some new clothes. She's not praying for a new ring. She's not praying for a new toy. She's praying for somebody that she loved, that they would be able to be rid of the disease of the devil that was within the child. Oh, we need a lot of praying like that today from parents and grandparents, do we not? In a world in which we live today, that there is so much wickedness around us in the world and we see children caught up in all kinds of sin, do we not need this kind of praying today? We find that the apostle, when he wrote to Timothy, said that there's going to come a time when children are going to be disobedient to parents. They're going to be hateful. And it goes with a long list. And I believe we see it going on today in our world. Should we not be interceding for every child that ever hearkened the doors of this church, that God would be blessing them, keeping them from evil, blessing them to find the Savior? We should, as members of this church. You'll find that when Jesus Christ spoke to her, it seemed like he was being very unkind. It is not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Well, he called her a dog, didn't he? He called her a dog. That's pretty debasing. If you understand the tradition and the culture in that day, you'll find that the Jewish people considered themselves to be the children and anybody else was a dog. And even though the Lord made that statement, we know that that was at that moment. That he was not going. He was mainly there for the Jewish people to present the Messiah had come, and he would present himself to the Gentiles later through the preaching of Peter and Paul and others. But primarily, his concern at this time was for the Jewish nation. Their Messiah had come, and he was there. A dog deserves nothing. But even in debasing her, she didn't argue. She didn't argue. I love the thought when it says, when dogs deserve nothing, but remember the scriptures that Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That includes dogs. Even if you're a dog this morning, even if you're the greatest of sinners, you don't deserve anything. I mean, we're all dogs, but Jesus has promised, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. If you come to me, I will not cast you out. A dog. You know that when you look at this prayer, it teaches us a lot how to pray. Now, if we want to learn any skill, it's best to observe somebody who's good at it. If you want to be a good pitcher, watch somebody who knows how to pitch. If you want to be a good football player, you watch somebody that knows how to run a football. You want to be a good skill and you want to be able to build something, you look at a good carpenter. Let's look at a good prayer. She knows how to pray. This woman knows how to pray. And that's the way we can learn how to pray. Because when she comes to the Lord in her prayer, the first thing she did was agree with Jesus. I'm not giving my bread to the dogs. She didn't say, Lord, I'm really not a dog. She didn't argue with him and say, I'm better than a dog. She didn't begin to commend herself and say, well, Lord, you know, I like the Pharisee that I tithe and I give of my, I fast twice in the week. I give a tithe. I'm in church every Sunday. I've done these good deeds. I've done this. I did this last week. And you remember that? I did one time. She didn't begin to commend herself to God. She just said, Lord, you're right. I'm nothing but a dog. I deserve nothing. She agrees with Jesus Christ. Now, you may this morning be here and you may be saying, well, you know, I've been trying to pray to the Lord. And I just don't really feel like I can even really should approach the throne of grace. I feel like I'm such a sinner. I look back in my life. I see the things I've done. I have no right to even approach God's throne of grace. And you know what? When we get in that position, we're exactly right. Now we're a dog. Now we can get to the place where we can beg. Now we, if the Lord says you're nothing but a dog, we can say, truth, Lord, I agree with you. But you see, that's the next part of prayer is, once you've agreed with the Lord, then the second thing is to plead and add another truth to it. I'm nothing but a dog, but yet I've got an argument here. Even the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Well, we've got a lot of things we can add to it. And if we begin to pray and we realize we don't deserve anything that God has, we can add something to it and say, yes, Lord, but you have promised that he that cometh to you, you will in no wise cast out. Lord, you promised that your ear would always be open to the cries of your elect. Shall you not avenge the very elect? That's what he said. The Lord's promised. He said that if you'll say to this mountain, be cast forth, you can do it. Your faith can be great. Jesus encourages us over and over again to come to him. We can add truth upon truth when he begins to tell us in our own hearts that we have no merits to please. As a matter of fact, I can make you a promise this morning. If you go to the throne of grace and begin to pray to God and you've got a merit you want to add there and you want to say, Lord, I got something here. You need to answer this prayer because of something I've done. You can forget it. It's not going to be answered. It'll be like the Pharisee that prayed thus with himself. We'll be praying with ourselves, but God won't be involved in it. The third thing that I see in her prayer, she had faith in Jesus Christ. She believed that he would do it. She believed it. That is the hardest part for us, is to believe that Jesus Christ is really going to answer our prayer. And she wasn't going to let him go. She was going to hang on to him until he finally answered her prayer. She wasn't going to leave him. Another thing you read in this prayer, again, it's just pregnant with thought. It says she came and she worshiped. After he initially did not answer the prayer, it says, and she worshiped. Now, what do you think she did? How did she worship him in the middle of her prayer? Well, I know of different ways we worship. One way we worship is by prayer itself, isn't it? That's an act of worship. When we go to God and we begin to pray, that's an act of worship. Another act of worship is singing. Singing is a part of our worship service. We begin to open the Lord's book up and we begin to sing the songs of Zion and we receive encouragement from the words that are found in the word of, in the songbook that agrees with the scriptures and agrees with those that have written those songs, those strangers and pilgrims that had experiences like we had, and you sing those songs out of the songbook. We're worshiping the Lord together. It's a collective way of worship. Well, another way we worship is by the preaching of the gospel. That's a worship way, isn't it? By preaching the scriptures and by learning from the word of God, that's a way that we worship. And there's a fourth way of worship, too. The way they did it over and over again in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they worshiped by bringing a lamb or a goat or a beast of some kind and putting it upon the altar and offering that up to a sweet-smelling savor unto God. We worship by giving. Now, it doesn't say how she worshiped there. In my mind, I see her at his feet, begging and praying. Maybe she brought him a trinket or a gift of some kind. I do not know. Maybe she had something on her person that she had said, I'm bringing this to Jesus Christ this morning. I want to offer this up unto him. He is worthy, even if he doesn't give me a crumb. I'm still bringing something. I'm going to leave it at his feet. That's what the three wise men did. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to worship the Christ child. But she worshiped. I believe that when we enter into fervent prayer with God, that we are entering into a worship service. You don't have to be here to worship the Lord. I want to tell you, there is a place and a purpose for the church of Jesus Christ for us to meet together in a public way like we're meeting this morning. But I want to tell you that you can find your own little sanctuary where you can worship the Lord all on your own, in your own closet, in your own house, in the woods, in the forest, wherever you may be, that you can just be alone with the Lord. You can find your own worship service there. She was worshiping him. And even though there was a house there and there were even some others around her, that's another interesting thought about it. That it says he was in a house. He could not be hid. There were others there, but yet she was alone with him. that maybe you might be at work or you might be around a lot of other people. But yet even then, you can enter into a little worship service of your own with the Lord and be undistracted by those around you and just have that sweet solitary thought of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's been times that I've been at work. I not wanted to go to work. I thought I want to be home. I want to read the scriptures. I want to do some studying, but I have to go to work sometimes. But yet, just like with this scripture this week, I could sit there and do my work and I'm thinking about the truths that are found in this word. I'm thinking about the points that I might want to make if I ever preach upon it. And I'm thinking about the encouragement that it gives my own heart that I can approach the throne of grace and beg God for a crumb and know that He is there. You see, we can worship anywhere. Paul and Silas worshipped in a prison and they were chained. And there was no music, there were no songbooks, and there were no other preachers with them. There was nobody, just the two of them. And they sang and they prayed and they worshipped the Lord. He heard them. He opened the prison door. We need some prison doors opened in our lives, don't we? We need to have some prison doors open that you and I can get out of the side of the cell and the Lord can deliver us. And we can find the peace that we need with the fellowship with Jesus Christ. Just a crumb. Just a crumb is all that she's asking. Well, you stop and think about it. What is a crumb to Jesus anyway? I mean, whatever prayer you've got this morning, however how great that it is, it's just a crumb. It's a crumb. I mean, if Jesus Christ made the stars, spoke them into existence, created the universe, all the things that He did, your prayer is nothing but a little crumb to Him. It's no big deal, really, is it? I mean, He could just say, be it so, and it's done. Right? Isn't that right? All He has to do is just say, be it as it may. And that prayer is answered. And all that is to Jesus is nothing but one little old bitty crumb. See, the big things to you and I are nothing to Him so far as the ability to accomplish it. Just a little old bitty crumb. Now, what is your crumb this morning? If I let you fill in the blank this morning in your prayer, what would your crumb be? Remember, it's just a crumb. Just a crumb. Just write that in there this morning. Write it in there. And I want you to leave this place this morning. And I want you to believe that it's answered. Can you do that? Will you do that? Can we do that? About 2,000 years after Christ has walked the shores of time, can we write that crumb in there and say, yes, He's still a Savior of sinners. He can still save people. He can deliver me. He can help me with my crumb. You know what I read in the Scriptures? Did you ever read in the Bible where anybody ever came to Jesus Christ with a child and he didn't do it? Did you ever read that? Did you ever read that? You will not read that. Everybody that ever brought a child to Jesus Christ was healed. Every time. That's an amazing thing this morning, isn't it? To know that He did that. I mean, to me, that's great encouragement to see that He answers, that He hears, that He cares. You know what I think her greatest battle was? Her greatest battle was herself, her unbelief. She had to get past herself to finally come to the Master. She could say, I'm a Canaanitish woman. I'm over here. I've really never been to His church before. I must believe, though, that He can. I must believe that He can. And I've got to get past myself to believe that He'll even give me a crumb. And she had to finally convince herself that He would not only hear her, but answer before she ever went. That's the biggest problem that we all deal with is that self, that unbelief that we have in our own souls. That Jesus Christ will hear our prayers, that He will answer, that He will give us a crumb. We've got to get past that. But let me ask you a question this morning. Let's say that you have a physical malady this morning. And you had heard that there was a doctor in Arkadelphia that could heal this any kind of disease you had. And you saw people loading up on buses. They were all going there. And they were going there and you begin to inquire, can he really do all that? Can he really heal people from all of their sicknesses? Can he help them with all their diseases? And people were coming back on another bus and they were saying, yes, he did. Everybody that was on our bus was healed. Everybody that they received what they went for. And you said, well, what's my leg? My leg is damaged. Have you ever seen anybody cure a leg? Oh, yes, I had a leg myself. And that was the very thing that was healed. I saw, and it was worse than yours. Would you not get on the bus and go there next week or the first opportunity that you had to go to that physician? But we have a physician here. We have one here this morning that has answered and given crumbs out to people who believe that he would. Our problem is ourself. While we hear from a far country that Jesus Christ does things, do we really believe that he will, or do we just come and talk about the things that he used to do, but he won't do them anymore? No, I believe he still does them. She's got to get past herself. She probably tried all the gods of the Phoenicians, all the heathen gods, everybody else she could try, but finally, well, I think I'll try Jesus. He's the last thing. Maybe he'll do it. I'll go to him for a crumb. Two other points I'm through this morning. One thing, she had great thoughts of Christ, didn't she? Sometimes our problem is our thoughts of Jesus Christ aren't big enough. We don't think that he still hears the cries of his elect. We don't think that our problem is really anything important enough to bring to him. We don't think that he would take notice of somebody like ourselves, a little dog. We don't think that he still can look into the life of an individual person and see the scars and the pain and the worry and the concern and the lost sleep, and that he still will answer a prayer. We've got such little thoughts of him that it's no wonder that many times our prayers are not heard, because we are not going boldly to the throne of grace. One other thought here to me is very heart-searching for mothers, and that is the power of a mother's love. Now, fathers love too. There's some fathers here this morning, and I can identify with every father that is here. But here is a mother that loves her child so very much, that was possessed of a devil of some kind. And I don't know what that devil would be. You know, there's a lot of devils in the world that children can be possessed with. It's an unclean spirit in one place is what it says. An unclean spirit, something unclean that was in the child's life that they were involved with. And the mother's love is so great for this child that she is willing to go to Christ, look like a fool, beg at his feet, spend, if we were to compare it, who knows how many hours in prayer that she's offering up for this child, not giving up, not concerned about herself, not concerned about anything else except that child. And how that this love that this mother has prevails to deliver her child. I want to tell you that I do believe that there is such a thing as prevailing prayer. There's such a thing as not giving up. There's such a thing as continuing to pray. While we read of Jesus Christ when he prayed in the garden, that he prayed and then he went a little space further and it says he fell on his face and prayed the same words. Now, if Jesus can pray the same thing twice, surely you and I can pray it a million times the same thing. Whatever hope it is in your heart, if you still don't quit praying for it, keep praying. Continue to pray. Beg for a crumb. Admit you're a dog. Don't be discouraged by those around you. Don't be discouraged by anything. Keep coming to the Master and asking Him for nothing but a crumb, because that's really all that it is. It's just a crumb to Him when it comes to His power and His greatness and His majesty. If He made a star, He can answer your prayer. This is the God that I believe in today. If I didn't believe in this kind of a God, I wouldn't preach. I wouldn't go to church and I wouldn't read my Bible. If I didn't believe that Jesus Christ still answered prayer, I wouldn't even show up at this place. If I didn't believe that Jesus Christ wouldn't personally answer my prayers, I wouldn't pray anymore. But see, I believe all those things. And yes, I too find my faith very weak, and I find myself sometimes falling in unbelief. But I find that many times the angel can stir us and his spirit can bring us back and put us on our feet again. And we can find ourselves in the posture of prayer. Before you left your room this morning, did you pray? Did you ask God to be in this house this morning? Did you ask the Lord's Spirit to be in our congregation? Did you ask that the Lord might send visitors? Did you ask that God would bless others to come to Christ and have a saving knowledge of Him? Did you ask any of those things? Did you intercede for somebody in your life? What was it that you were praying on the Lord's Day this morning? Jesus Christ rose from the grave on Sunday morning. Of all days we ought to be praying, should it not be on Sunday morning? Were you praying this morning when you got up and you began to approach God's house and say, Lord, I hope your house will be full. Lord, I hope your sing-song service will be sweet. Lord, I hope that we'll feel your presence when the preaching is going on. I hope there's a message that will fall from the lips of the preacher. Maybe one little sentence that'll be that very thing that I stand in need of. Maybe it'll give me some more hope. Did you pray any of those things this morning? What are you talking to the Master about? Are you talking to Him at all? Is He in your life? Are you visiting with Him on a daily basis? Are you asking Him to come into my life, to be a part of my life? I want you to be with me, Jesus Christ. I want to walk with you daily. I want to have fellowship with you, not just in a religious way, but in a personal way. Are you asking Him like that? Are you begging? I want to tell you, if we're not praying, we're missing out on life. My house shall be called the house of prayer, Jesus Christ said. That means that praying people go to a praying church. We can come to church every Sunday morning. We can sing from the songbook. We can have the right tunes. We can do everything right. But as I said a Sunday or two ago, without Him, it's all an empty vessel. There is nothing to it. It's just vanity. It's vanity. It's all about Him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've come to know the Savior and you love Him. And your request has been that the Lord would enable you to find a place in your heart and to find the strength that you can follow Him in your life. And that in some way you might be able to live a life that would honor Him among His people. And you've been asking the Lord to give you the strength to do it. We encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing. May God add His blessings to you is our prayer.